Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, think about this. You know, God, in just saying his name, that is one of his, you know, it's one of the ways we address him, is so limiting to who he is. The creator of the universe, the one who created everything, you know, in the 7-day creation and you know, spoke things into existence and created men and created women and just breathed life into us and the earth and just said, you know, go, you know, multiply and take dominion of earth. This God loves you. I mean, he loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life, and he wants you to be in his family. It's a family. And I remember once when I went to visit a friend of mine who I was in my 20s, I guess, and I was a deputy then. And he took me to his house, and he's like 20 something years old. And I walked in, and all of his siblings were addressing their father as sir. You know, I'm like, I was trying to figure this out. You know, I was like, oh, they're calling him sir. You know, and it was just like this so official thing. It's like, this is not family. This is official. Officially not family, I guess you would say. And it's so important to understand that God wants family. He created us for fellowship. He created Adam in the garden to stroll with him every single day. But true, you know, a relationship is not an authentic relationship until somebody has a choice to leave you. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to give them a choice. Well, you don't have a relationship. You have a prison, you know. And God said, you know, I'll give you everything. You just can't have these two trees, this tree over here, knowledge of good and evil. So now every day that Adam walked with God in fellowship and friendship, which, by the way, was the Garden of Eden was located, I believe, in Iraq, just so you understand the significance of that, southern Iraq. And it was a choice to walk with him. But at some point, of course, the men fell. They ate from the tree they shouldn't have. But God immediately began to start a redemption plan because he wanted to walk with us. He wants to walk. He wants to be our God. Mm-hmm. You know, he is God, but he wants to be our God. I mean, he is God, but he wants to be your God by your choice. And so he began a redemption plan so that he can stroll again with us. But the sin issue was a problem now because he's holy. His very presence, you know, deals with sin. I mean, and you know, it's like you just can't get close to sin. I mean, sin does not exist in the presence of God, so it had to be dealt with. So immediately what he did in the garden was he killed some animals, bloodshed, and he covered up Adam and Eve with you know, animal skins. There had to be, you know, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so sin was dealt with and really covered up for quite some time. But his whole plan of redemption was that he was going to give his son to deal with sin once and for all, so that if we relied upon Jesus Christ, if we rely upon him completely and wholly, his finished work on the cross of Christ, when he said it is finished, that is our complete entrustment. And through that, the empowerment by his Spirit enables us to walk in obedience, love towards God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. And so in that, when he gave his son, born of a virgin, God is his father, Mary is his mother, he was all God, all man, he walked on the face of the earth to fill what we feel, to fill our infirmities. He was tempted in every way, just like us. So he can, I mean, you think about it. He already knew the answer, but trying to understand our frailness and, you know, we weren't God,
right?
And aren't perfect. And so he walked and felt our infirmities. And so Jesus is considered the high priest. You know, you had the high priest that would cover sin, but Jesus is going to be the high priest that removes sin. And so he felt our infirmities. He was tempted in every way. I mean, think about that, every single way. I'm talking about family, God's original intent, based on my understanding of what he's wanting us, is what you want. Everybody wants family, authentic family, not captives. They want family. And so when it came to the point in time when he was going to be offered up, he lived a sinless life, And he became a chosen point in time by God, the creator of the universe, at an exact time, I believe Romans chapter 5 says, he offered up his son as a living sacrifice. And when he did that, it was a sin sacrifice for everybody who makes Jesus Christ truly the Lord, not a shout out, but the Lord of their life. And on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead. And it was all finished. It was all, and now we can actually be in this family of God. We can stroll with God. We call it abiding all the time, you know, hanging, staying in God, abiding with God, relating to God. That, I mean, you look at Romans chapter 2, he says now, you know, now that you're actually saved, or now that the sin issue's dealt with, he's now reach up and take from the tree of life and eat. Because you can live forever as a family. You can live forever in the family of God. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? That is such a beautiful thing. And it's like, man, who made it religious?
Right.
You know, who made it, you know, sir? You know, who, you know, and it's like, what have we done, you know, to the church? And so I want to talk a little bit about the original tent, because God wants you in his family. You know, look at the religion around the world today. There's a whole bunch of religion. I mean, there's like 1,000-something gods that, you know, which is no god at all, that's being worshipped in India alone, I believe. Mm-hmm. 1,000,000 gods. Mm. It's amazing. It's like, wow. And the gospel needs to be there. And the gospel is there. And I think the largest part of the church, by the way, now, I think, is in India.
Mm.
It's a debate now between India and China. So your family, largest part of your family is in Asia. And so in that, what does it look like? What does family look like? Well, look how the enemy's attacked family. I mean, it's the hardest. I mean, if you're really going to walk family out the way God wants it to walk it out, I mean, everybody has to be on the same page. I mean, the prodigal wasn't on the same page with the father. The prodigal wanted to do his own thing. So he missed out on the family. But you can imagine what it was like the whole time living with the prodigal, right? It was like, I don't want to be here. I just want my inheritance. I know better than everybody else, you know, and this whole thing. And so he was missing all this family stuff. But when he returned back to God, when he said, you know, I've sinned before God, I sinned before my father, and he came home to family. And a father received him. He said, my son who was dead is now alive. Mm. He's like, let's have a party, you know, let's cook a turkey. No, kill the fatted calf. You know, kill the fatted calf, let's have a party. And so because my son, this is about family. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord, mothers and fathers in the Lord. We're family, the family of God. And so the enemy just attacks marriage. And so you think, it says, how many people, you know, they're in their marriage, they're constantly battling over, is it going to be my way, or is it going to be my spouse's way? Is it going to be the children's way, or is it going to be the parents' way? And it's like, what about God's way? What about, you know, having it God's way? And his way is good. His way is family. And so when we get back from this break, I'm going to talk to you about what we learned on our journey. And it'll encourage you, because God wants what you want. You just have to believe that he wants that for you. And you have to commit to say, okay, I'm going to leave the institution for the family. I'm going to leave the orphanage. And we're talking about leaving anything. But the mindset, I'm going to leave the orphanage that fed me, that patted me on the head when I cried, that somewhat, you know, told me some of the things of the Lord. I'm going to just dive into the family of God. And we're going to talk to you about miracles. We're going to talk to you about power. We're going to talk to you about the fear of God, about dreams and visions, and just, I mean, and even what you're hearing and you're watching now on VFN TV, the daily radio program, that was birthed in that kind of environment of the family of God. And God wants you to be family. And if you don't have family, I mean, think about it. If somebody's not going to be family, you got to have orphanages. I mean, you got to have it. Somebody's got to care. I mean, how many people are supporting orphanages? I know that, you know, Don and I, you know, help out with a few orphanages and just try to. Because if you're not going to take care of them, somebody's got to take care of them. So it's not a negative thing to be an orphanage, but it's a sad thing that you don't believe that you can get family. And I want to tell you that you can have family, but to have family, you have to be family. And so Make sure you come back. We're going to talk about miracles, power, signs, wonders, dreams, visions, all these things that God does, and it's going to really excite you. You know, what brings all this up is the fact that I was just recently watching Francis Chan take this journey that that we took, and it was so exciting to see him taking this journey. But then I heard him at this video, and we'll make this available to you maybe on the torch, but, you know, what is church? And he progressively, as excellently as he does, you know, leads you to, you know, understanding this is really what it is. It's all this other stuff is just kind of a fluff or whatever. And it just reminded me, it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, you have done some amazing things. And I remember when, you know, I pastored a traditional founding work. I believe that even Francis Chan founded the work in California.
He sure did.
And he was frustrated with the fact is like, we got to make disciples. We've got to replicate. What are we doing? And he said, you know, out of 4,000 people that were gathering in that traditional church, maybe we're reaching 100, 200.
Wow.
And he's like, there could be a better use of resources. So as out of this is the traditional concept that 4,000 people gather. And in that, there's 100 to 200 people. They're their church. Mm-hmm. That's actually the church. They're followers of Jesus Christ. And which is called evangelism, what we would call it. Right. Very expensive evangelism, by the way. And so in that, you know, this journey of just being the church. And so you look at the book of Acts and you see how the church is. And, you know, why would that be wrong? And I know that we just began this journey of getting to a place where we're just going to wait on God and you know, and see how God leads us as he speaks. And he spoke to, we can't go into all the details, but we'll make it related so you can hear it. But I believe that he made me sick. He almost gave you a heart attack. And somebody's ears was ringing in the studio here. And
Lord confirmed it to me.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so he was speaking to us and we're trying to hear what he was saying. And and so we just went and waited on God. And God was preparing to show himself mighty. He was going to do some powerful things. And what we first figured out, got to follow God, of course, is like we've got to first become what he wants to reproduce. And so we had to first walk out and get all this religion out of us. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. It was hard to even look at each other when you're worshiping God, because you spend your entire life worshiping God by looking at the back of someone's head.
Exactly.
Right. That you have no idea who they are.
Right.
But it is a nice suit. And right. It was just real difficult. You know, it was amazing. And then, you know, all the different forms of music. Anyway, so then, you know, as we began to love and gather and just come together, almost immediately, God began to move. I found out God was more into building his kingdom than we were.
Yeah.
He's really into people. He wants every man to be saved. And everything that you do religious, everything that you do that is something you create becomes a stumbling block to the plans of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. And so it will put space between you and what God wants you to do. So it makes it more difficult for you to do what you got to do. So you got to be so careful. And so immediately, you know, we started coming together, and I was committed. I didn't care if it took 10 years. I just wanted what God wanted. Mm-hmm. It didn't take 10 hours. All of a sudden, you know, people started showing up and were just drawn to what God was doing, dreams and visions. And I had a particular young boy that was a neighbor boy that he comes to me and tells me, you know, my mother has been beat up by her boyfriend. She's curled up on the bathroom floor just like an infant. And he beat her up bad. He took her money, took her car, and she was in school. That's why she didn't have any money. And he just cried out for God. You know, he needed help. Mm-hmm. And so I began to minister to the lady, and I said, you know, what do you need? What do you want from God? She says, well, I need a job. You know, I need a car. And then my bills need to get caught up. I mean, think about it. She's not only on the floor beat up, but he took everything from her. Mm-hmm. And this young, maybe 11-year-old boy was desperately, he's like, what do you do? Because you can't fix it.
Right.
And so I said, let's just pray. no, let's just ask God. And so I prayed, asked God for what she had wanted, and God gave her, this is what God does. God gave her a car. She needed a job. God gave her a car. God gave her money to catch her bills up. God gave her one of the best jobs in her community, and also with the hours that she needed to be off so that she could be there when her son got off. Get this now. And he did all this on her birthday. All this on her birthday. I mean, this is the God that we serve. And so we began to see, as we're watching God just move and we're learning, I mean, we stepped out of this institutionalized religion, you know, where you just show up and look one way and you talk to people that aren't going to do anything you say, but they're going to treat you nice. And then all of a sudden we're like, it's happening around us. And we're seeing healings where people are, you know, things just, this is just a skimming of what's happening. We're seeing dreams and visions where, you know, God is speaking to one member of this church gathering that's gathering. It's gathering in a home now. This one church member that's there who's about to go to school the next day. And then that there's going to be him and his three friends that he hangs out with is going to get arrested. Well, he wasn't involved in that, but he's hanging with people that are involved in something they shouldn't be doing. Well, God gives me a dream and he shows me what's going on. And so the parents keep the boy home that day. And well, guess what? Just like God said, those boys that were into that stuff, they went to jail, but kept the young,
their son
out of jail. I mean, we've seen second stage breast cancer. We've seen deliverance where, you know, as God is unfolding, VFN TV was birthed during that time, VFN radio. And we're watching how the anointing transfers through media. There was one particular guy that somebody just brought that wasn't part of the family, kind of the traditional way of doing things, and just brought this person in who didn't know God yet. And I think his name was Legion. But we're listening to a teaching come over VFN TV. And then all of a sudden, just taking authority, you know, talking about deliverance and that God will deliver us from strongholds, the power came over that broadcast. This man was set free right there. He was sleeping, actually. He actually laid his head over and was just sleeping during what was going on. But as soon as the power of God came, he sat up straight, he looked straight up, and he was delivered of stuff on him at that one moment. It was a powerful moment because I remember, you know, Tracy sliding over and the hair sticking up on her arm. It's like, I mean, God's so powerful. I mean, we've seen so many things. I remember, you know, that, you know, you see, you know, so many people have these other motives. It's really weird. It's just really strange. But you have to understand, they really do have these other motives. But God will reveal that to you. He revealed Ananias and Sapphira. He revealed all those kind of things. You know, we had a particular couple that really wanted to do ministry. I mean, they really wanted to do ministry. And all we're wanted is be family, you know, and just family reproduces and all that kind of stuff. And God reveals everything that's happening, you know, in their life. I mean, to the detail. And so I'm sitting, I think Pat and I are actually sitting. This couple just going, you know, like, is this going on? Is this happening? Is this happening? I'm a serious, like, huge, like,
major stuff.
Oh my goodness, fear of God stuff. And they say yes. Right?
You think, with a straight face.
Okay, so God knows, so he wants you to deal with this. I mean, he's obviously, you know, wanting to deal with this.
Right.
And so didn't deal with it. And then God reveals more and more and more. He begins to show that this relationship's out of order, and that basically that the wife was over the husband, and the husband was under the wife, and everybody was under the whatever, and the whole business structure was up under that particular wife. That's what he was showing. And what he did, he showed a particular dream and a vision where the lady was bald, that the husband took his arm and pulled it over his wife, and she had a toupee type thing on, was bald. And he talks about that. Word of God talks specifically about, you know, that's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like, I really want this couple to make it. You know, I really want them to make it. I want them to make it, right?
Yeah.
And finally, you know, God just tells me, he says, listen, you're dealing with human beings. This has to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
The things of God are holy. And I'm not perfect, obviously. You know, I couldn't be, I mean, I couldn't be any of it's perfect. But in regards to the motives of your heart have to be pure. And so all of a sudden, God just says, okay, this has to separate. And as soon as that whole thing separates, the peace of God and the power of God reignites back into that environment again.
Hmm.
I mean, it's the power of God and the things of God. We got so much more we're going to share with you, but this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve, and that everything you read in the book of Acts, as a matter of fact, one particular person said, when I stepped out of tradition, traditional church expression, I stepped into, you know, what we were doing, which is the church. It felt like I was stepping into Acts chapter 4, I think. Acts chapter 4. And it's like we're supposed to live in the Acts of the church. These things are supposed to happen. And that's what differentiates us from others, that God's with us. And everything he says he'll do, he'll do. But, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on. But two, that we also have to make disciples. We're talking about, you know, being the church and, you know, how, you know, the VFN Dream Center came to pass and how, you know, we're leading to this whole, you know, what we saw God do. And powerful, powerful things. And he's still doing, but just in a powerful way, the core part of what he was doing. And John, you were talking about.
Yeah. You know, I remember a sister, you know, a woman that gathered in our fellowship, just as we just gathered together as a church. And she had a tumor that I believe was the size of a grapefruit. And as I remember it,
in her brain.
Yeah, in her brain. And many doctors, they, you know, it's like she was going to have surgery.
They said they couldn't do anything else for her.
And I believe they said that she was going to die as a result of this thing. And
she would just fall out and pass out.
Yeah, I mean, just huge, major, major under attack.
Was a bus driver.
Yeah.
School system.
Yeah, geez, man, what a memory. And then we prayed. We prayed for the church, just gathered, and we just kept praying and praying for her.
Mm-hmm.
And God dissolved that grapefruit.
Well, first, God gave her seven dreams.
Was it
the same dream over and over seven times? You remember that?
Yeah.
Built her faith up.
That told her it was healed. And that just built her faith. And she went to the doctor.
And the doctor told her
confirmed it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it shrunk. Completely shrunk.
Yeah.
It didn't come all the way down to, it was completely gone.
Gone. She was gone. So under oppression of the enemy that all that was hitting her. You know, she couldn't hardly walk. At times she was fallout. Couldn't work her job as a bus driver.
Yeah.
That she even went to the point, and this is before she had, you know, started gathering with us, that she was going to take her son's life.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was going to take her son's life as a baby. And God delivered her from all of that, set her free from that, and then healed her from a brain tumor. Did all of that from her.
Yeah. Mm. This is beautiful.
The enemy had convinced this lady that if you're not going to be here with your son, then, you know, he doesn't need to be here. I'm like, the devil's all over that.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to set you free.
Yeah.
And guess what? God set her free. Her son's a healthy son today. She's actually probably still in that. She's back in that business again. And it's just a miracle, you know, what God is doing. I know that we had another situation where this is pretty amazing stuff because, mm-hmm. I mean, does this happen when you come together? So we had this particular man that had gotten into some deep sin, and I think it was myself and Pat talking to him, and we realized, you know, this guy's going to be prayed for because there is something all over him or in him, around him, ever how you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So we took this particular man to my office, and I have a German Shepherd dog, or I have a German Shepherd dog at the time, and
with discernment.
Yeah, well, anyway, so, you know, we're praying for this particular man, and it's so severe. I mean, the enemy just got a hold of this particular guy. We're not, you know, we're just like, you know, coming against whatever it is in Jesus' name and telling him to leave this man alone. His eyes begin to literally just turn red and just bloodshot. But my dog was literally running and jumping at the door of my office. I'm at a German Shepherd trying to get in and rescue, you know, me probably from all that stuff was going on. So dogs, actually, it's amazing. They know stuff is up.
They sure do.
And, you know, I'm thinking, what did you do? I mean, what's the talk of this particular guy? Did you rob a bank? I mean, what did you do? You know, it was just thing. It was so huge, and just the power of God was just so powerful, and deliverance taking place, and we've seen other times when, people had come to mean harm to somebody in the gathering. They came, you know, and that's what's going to happen. You know, if you find God and you're with God and the power of God sets you free, there's going to be an immediate attack from people who are held captive by the adversary to try to pull you out of that, distract you, dilute you, pull you away, possibly even pull you into religion. But this person came with an intent, mm-hmm. with evil intent to do harm, to ridicule a family member that had gotten saved. And we were just there worshiping God. I mean, no hype. It's really exciting, by the way, because you don't have to have any hype. You don't have to build anybody up and take them and all that kind of stuff. We're just worshiping God, raising our hands, just worshiping God. And this particular person, we'd already eaten, you know, had a meal together, and we just began to worship God. And before we were going to go into some teachings, and with that, all of a sudden, God's Spirit began to deal with this man. This man, he couldn't even stand up. He went down under the power of God, where he's sitting in a chair with his elbows on his knees, and we're just worshiping God. You don't have to worry about it. God's going to deal with folks like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think about, you know, Mariah Etter, when somebody started coming towards her years ago on the stage, and the power of God just dealt with the man where he fell backwards, his tongue swelled up in his mouth. It's pretty wild, isn't it? And he began to see visions of hell. And when he got up, he gave his life to God. I mean, because God loves you. It's not against people that we're coming against. It's actually against God, if we're coming against God's folks. And so, needless to say, he barrels out of the gathering and goes out front and just sits there while we finish up for maybe a couple hours of celebration and teaching and all that. And next time he comes, he doesn't even come anywhere near. He stays at a distance from the property and talks from a distance. The fear of God was so powerful. Wow. The presence of God was so strong that he wouldn't even come near it. But it sounds, that's what he says in the book of Acts. It says they feared God and they wouldn't even come amongst them. But you're not afraid to go in the presence of God if God is your Father, if Jesus is your Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an exciting thing to happen. And so over and over again, just the power of God and deliverance and blessings and healing, second stage breast cancer, a couple of stages of breast cancer, a couple times of breast cancer being healed, dream after dream, prophetic encounters, the birthing of a 24-hour, once-a-week prayer community that began, a ministry that spread around the U.S. And
I think what genuine love, you know, koinonia that was just so there, just so beautiful, and that everyone just came and wanted to be a part of what God was doing and cared about each other so deeply. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just natural. Naturally, the way God designed us to be,
and that's what He's called us to do. And that's the whole thing: is that can you love where you presently are? And you can, but is the environment one that encourages you to love? Because that's the only thing that differentiates you from someone else. Authentic love. Do you love?
Right.
And if you haven't yet gotten Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love, the revised. Updated version, it's right here. You need to get it because it just really talks about, you know, crazy love, and that we have to just be fully in love with God and God's people. And it just, all of a sudden you look forward to coming together. I mean, how many people go to, you hear them talk about a family reunion coming up and they're depressed. They're thinking, oh great, I'm going to go there and so-and-so is going to push my buttons and, you know, aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole thing that they go through, and it's just like, why even go?
Right.
I mean, well, because they're, you know, they're, that's a family reunion. That's not a family reunion. That's torment. You know, that's not, right. You know, that's a grave and imminence. That's not a, you know, that's not what God's called you to. He has not called you to go. That's not family. That's the enemy's convinced you. If that's been your experiences with family, that the enemy's done that to your family to cause you to repel family. If you repel horizontal family, you'll repel vertical family. And understand God's family is not like that. There's issues, you have all that kind of stuff, but God's presence heals those things and delivers us and gives us, through His Word, the ability to walk through those things. And so you look forward to coming together. You look forward to, you know, having a meal with your brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. You look forward to worshiping God together. And one thing you also notice too, when you start being family, is that, you know, the kids are no longer, you know, off in some place somewhere. I mean, everybody's, you know, you're just a family there. And then the kids are seeing their fathers and mothers worship God. And then, you know, fatherless children are actually being fathered because fathers are right there with them through the whole time together. And it's just very exciting. And just the power of God, the waves of God, and it's amazing what God does. And God is the one that just led us into that. And I look at Francis Chan today and I think, you know, when you see where he's at, that I totally understand, you know, I might not understand him, but I can, right. I can see some similarities in that journey. Mm-hmm. It's like, because once you've tasted and you've seen, you just don't want anything else. But then you have the situation where, okay, now we can't just turn inward. You need to be able to make disciples. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to let other people have this experience. You got to be able to do what we talk about as a rapid church planting movement. You got to be able to have, governmental, maybe apostolic covering, some sort of, you know, all these things had to happen, because what we found out is that God was so into it that whatever you do, you're going to be responsible for. And, you know, if you reproduce, wrong is going to be wrong. And so begin to seek God for how he wanted things to unfold and the pattern and all those different things. And it unfolded. It's what's called Vine Fellowship Network. And so when we get back, I want to talk to you about understanding this mandate of all the things God's called us to do. There's two things he's called us to do. He's told us to be a disciple, love, and make disciples. I mean, that's what he's called us to do. And so the culture in America, 95% statistics say, I believe it's Barna statistics, that people that are regular church attenders won't lead one person to the Lord in their entire life. In other words, they won't make one disciple. And it's like, what have we done that we created such an environment that's in disobedience to God?
Yeah.
What have we done? It's like, I don't want to stand before God and say, you know, boy, we sang that song, you know, and we had this great time and you blessed us and you healed us, but we didn't share that with anybody. We didn't share that with anybody. We just kept all that to ourselves. And by the way, that's when God leaves, by the way, when you're not going to share what God is doing. And so I want to talk to you about how these things unfolded, because what we see and what I see is that God wants you to experience this very same koinonia, the church, the body that he is, and the power and the love and the compassion, and he'll love you through other believers. And it's just amazing what he'll do. He'll heal those empty places and fill those empty places and, you know, wet those dry areas, and he'll put light in areas you thought that you could never have light in. It's just really, really powerful. So I'm going to talk more about how this thing progressed, because, you know, we wanted to and want to and always want to tell other people about the Lord and to bring in new disciples that are walking, new brothers and sisters in the Lord that are fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with the body. And just think about it. This could be you. Maybe you're ready to say, you know what, especially what's about to happen on the face of the earth. And I believe it's happening because we didn't obey the Lord. And if we'll get back to where he wants us to be, then he'll stop the storm intended for us.
Yeah.
And but there's going to be disciples, right? There's going to be a harvest. So, you know, we started in the beginning of this journey, you know, how did we end up where we are by the grace of God? And, you know, when God first said, you know, we're going to do this thing, you know, we're just going to just first seek the Lord, see what he wants to do. And it's like, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so we waited for the traditional gathering that was around us to kind of, we had great relationships with the local churches, and we just allowed people to assimilate into all of our brothers' churches that were around the city. And then whoever was going to be left, that was going to be the core that was going, God was going to walk out, that they were wanted to do it. And so, you know, with that, we just said, okay, let's just do this thing. Right. And, of course, God began to move, you know, where I was, but I was noticing that, there wasn't much activity going on. I was like, what's going, you know, what's happening here? And you start realizing things that what holds us back and the things that people struggle with. And you start finding out the fear of man. You start finding out there's like, I got to talk to my neighbors. And you think, oh my goodness, we're realizing what all this is. You know, I got to talk to my wife. And I'm gonna say, no, I'm just joking. And so we realized, and we had all this religion, people were trying to figure out how do you religiously do this? And okay, then, you know, obviously realized we need to become what we were going to reproduce. And so that crew came together. And we began just to encounter God, and just it was powerful, and it has been powerful. And today, you know, this is the fruit of that. But in but then it's like, okay, now we're ready to do this thing. Because the original time was to let's just do it, and then we found out, no, we've got to come and become what we're going to reproduce. Secondly was, okay, we're going to be trained up and launched out. And then that's when God miraculously, it was the power of God. You remember the birthing of VFNU?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the power of God?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the birthing of VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, which is just kind of all the what God taught us to be able to teach everybody who's called to be able to be the church in that, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, the power of God just, it was amazing. And so we're able to capture that anointing and try to put it down in a reasonable format. And so, you know, the very first class of VFNU, you know, went through, and God even knew the very exact day that they would be graduating.
Mm-hmm.
It was this November.
November 17th.
Yeah, November 17th. And it was just a powerful
encounter
with God. And God was going, I'm into this, right? I'm into this. And then it's like, let's just launch it. And so all of a sudden, you know, church plants were beginning to happen, you know, in different places. But that's still, you know, inner struggle. And we would meet together on one conference call every week, once a week. Mm-hmm. And we would talk and, you know, it kind of walk this thing out, you know, what's happening, what's going on. And everybody's rightly related. And, you know, all the way from Texas to Colorado to New York to, Lakeland, of course, the Gulf Coast area, just all over different places. And so, but then there was something that got, we're watching manifest, and you're actually in a culture. You know, Jesus says, you know, here you are, you say you have no need of nothing, but you're poor, naked, and blind. That a blessed culture, this, you know, the American culture presently, was fixing to probably shift, is so seduced. There's so many people that think, you know, I don't need God, or I have God.
Yeah.
And it's a lukewarm existence. And a lukewarm Christian, really, if you think about that, that's an oxymoron. I mean, it's just like you're either, you know, either a Christian or you're not. And you're either, you know, in the family or you're not. If you're not, you can be. I mean, there's not this, like, you know, whatever. And so in the context of the Lord laid on my heart that the churches are going to need to be a lot of encouragement. They're going to need, you know, apostolic connection and oversight and to be taught, trained, supported, and encouraged from almost like a hub area. And that through all the media and all the ways to connect now, and that's where VFN Dream Center came to pass, which is not really a building, even though it is. You know, it's where we meet in a building. But it's actually just to be able to help. Maybe you're called and you're thinking, man, I want to walk like that. And it's like, that's why, you see, we could have just stayed where we were. And if we're been swimming in the presence of God and walking with God, and there's nothing like being with God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing worse than being at what people call family that's not family. It's those family reunion type things. Mm-hmm. And you need family. You need people who really love you and care for you and will speak truth into your life and you can count on. And so in that, the VFN Dream Center came together, and then God began to speak to specific parts of us that were around the United States, and certain people were called by God to come help out and participate at the apostolic hub to be able to help you or others experience what we've been experiencing. We want to do more of what we've been doing. He commanded us to love, but he also commanded us to be a disciple and to make disciples. And so we had to position ourselves. And so instead of staying in this beautiful pool of just wonderful koinonia, we're like, God, we're going to go into the wilderness and we're going to help as many people experience what we've experienced. So we're not into buildings, although there's nothing wrong with buildings. I've got a good friend that's a building. But it's the fact is we're into building the body of Christ. You're the building of God. God's building a spiritual house for himself. You know, you're a holy priesthood that, you know, that every day miracles can happen. And every day, you know, God can speak to you and you can speak to him. And this is what God's called us to be the family of God. And religion, I'm telling you, you know, what's happening on the face of the earth and what's about to happen, that is not going to, sustain you. I mean, you may find a place in that organization somewhere to, like socialism, you know, you can find something to sustain you no matter what, or you can just, you know, I want God. You know, if you're, you know, a pastor going, yeah, I want God's presence in my church. Think about this, you know, gathering your fellowship in smaller groups where they can begin to meet each other and talk to each other and begin to walk. Go to iabide.org and begin to abide with God. Maybe you need to go to VFNU and something of that nature and begin to say, you know, I want to figure out how to do this. We had some people, quite a few people, that have taken a traditional expression of church. You know, in the average, most 90% of all churches are pretty much around 75, even though they got cameras in the bigger ones. Most of them are around 75, 90 folks. But just think a couple hundred people, they're taking their people and say, you know what, we can take this one church and we can have maybe, I don't know, 20 churches. And we could come together, you know, once a month or something of that nature. But in that gatherings, we can be the church and have those experiences that we were talking about and that the early church talked about. And we can all, you know, be connected and pray for and spend time together. And we can walk our lives out together. And it's still, we're still doing it. But we now everybody's being ministered to. Everybody's having that experience. You know, it's not just her tumor being healed. It's my tumor being healed. It's not just one story from an evangelist coming in about something that happened in Northern Africa. It's actually happening right here in my living room. And so I want to encourage you. There's nothing, you know, buildings are great. And we meet in one ourselves for the VFN Dream Center. But the goal of it is to be able to have so many people being the church. How can he says, go into all the world. This is what Jesus said, and make disciples of the nations. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And we've turned into the cummy church. And that's what that first launch we found out that, you know, everybody's going, like, I'm trying to invite people to cummy. And it's like, go ye out and make disciples.
That's right.
Meet them in the coffee shops. Meet them at the drugstore. Just meet them somewhere and just begin to build a relationship with them. And Jesus said was, what can I do for you? And then all of a sudden you'll find out people didn't realize that Jesus could heal them. They get healed and they're interested in this Jesus now that's walking with you. And he says, preach to them the kingdom of God is near. The reason why? It's because the kingdom of God is within you. It's within every believer. I'm telling you, this is the most exciting days of the church is just ahead. And it's going to take all of us, the whole church, to walk together. Every one of us, whether we're in big, huge shopping center buildings, you know, or small houses, wherever we're at, if we're even in coffee shops. Listen, we all got to work together for one thing, obeying the Lord to go make disciples, be a disciple, and to love. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.